Welcome to another episode of the PFF College Football Show. I'm your host, Max Chadwick, alongside my co-host, Dalton Wassman. We've got producer Eli back there in the studio as well. It is draft week. We got our final mock draft, our final 2024 NFL mock draft, predicting the entire first round. Not what we would do, but what we think is going to happen on draft night. Dalton, we are finally made it to the 2024 NFL draft, man, and I personally can't wait to see what actually happens come Thursday, but it's kind of a good look at what we think will happen right now as we head into it.
Oh, the anticipation's killing me, Max. It's like getting to the top of the start of a roller coaster, man. This is just such an electric draft with so much talent, and obviously one more time that we get to be 100% right on the first round. So, you know, I'm super excited. We're just a few days away, and I can't wait to see where all these guys end up.
I can't wait either, man. So let's pull up the best mock draft simulator on the planet right now, which is, of course, the PFF mock draft simulator. So let's pull it up right now. All right, so here it is, the PFF mock draft simulator as advertised. We have Dalton. Actually, there's a lot of new things in the PFF mock draft simulator. Before we start, obviously, you could do unlimited seven-round mock drafts. You could trade players, trade picks, put it on turbo mode if you want as well. That way the picks, if you want to just draft for one team, which we're not doing today, obviously. If you want to draft for one team, it goes super fast through it as well. Mock draft awards we're giving out now, draft ranks where your draft ranks in terms of percentiles with other fans as well, and also mock draft assistant, which can help you out make your picks as well. Hopefully we won't need that today, Dawn, and we'll start off with the number one overall pick. So I'll actually take the odd picks this time, because you had the odd picks last time in our all eligible mock draft, which you can check out already, where we drafted if everyone in college football was eligible. But in this 2024 mock, what I think will happen is pretty easy. It's Caleb Williams going to Chicago Bears. I believe he's like minus 3,000 on every sports book to be the number one overall pick. Pretty much 100% chance he's going to be the number one guy. I think he actually only took one visit total, and that was only to Chicago. So he is pretty much locked in to go to the Bears, I think, at number one overall. And I think this is pretty much a home run pick. And in terms of, like, after this, you know, two and on, we'll start to get some conversations. But I think number one is pretty much locked in at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's a formality, and we're just waiting for it to be announced on Thursday. So number two with Washington, I think we pretty much know that we're going with a quarterback here. They've gotten a pretty weird method out there of interviewing these guys and bringing them all in at the same time. Yeah. I think, what is it, they had Daniels and May and McCarthy all coming into Washington at the same time for their visit. So that's a fun, maybe even competitive thing. I think you mentioned a Topgolf outing and something like that. But it's tight. And I think for me, you know, I've told you this whole time, the top three guys, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Drake May, they're all incredibly close to me in talent level. I think you could win with any of the three of them, but my preference here at two would be Jaden Daniels from LSU. I just think the dynamic running ability, the significant improvement as a passer at LSU in his first year with a normal offseason. He doesn't put the ball in danger. He's just, I just like all the ingredients. I think there's just a Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson sort of talent here. And the cupboard isn't bare in Washington, man. They've got Terry McLaurin, got Jahan Dotson, you've got Brian Robinson. Dan Quinn's he's brought in a boatload of productive free agents that can round out their team. I think Jaden Daniels, for me, and I think he's a betting favorite right now, would be the pick in Washington.
Yeah, he is. I think he's like minus 300 for some sports books as well. So yeah, he's right now the betting favorite. So it's what we think is going to happen, just to remind you guys. And I think I would agree with you, even though I would not take Jaden Daniels here at number two. If I had the number two overall pick, this is who I would predict as well. I think Jaden Daniels will end up being the number two overall pick for the Washington Commanders. So that leaves the New England Patriots at number three, who also need a quarterback. And I think in this scenario, it would be Drake May, who currently is the betting favorite to go number three overall at FanDuel right now, minus 145 to be the number three overall pick. So yeah, I think it's a pretty easy selection for me here. Again, I'm not a huge fan of the New England situation, whereas I think Chicago is a great situation. Washington has some things to get excited about, like you mentioned before. New England's one where it's like, oh man, I don't know. So New England has got to do a lot better in terms of getting help on the offensive line and getting help in the receiver room to help out Drake May. But I think you can't pass up a potential franchise quarterback like Drake May here at number three overall. Even with Marvin Harrison Jr. on the board, I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to take Drake May at number three. So I think we're going to see quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3 in this draft.
I agree with that. And in some order, whichever order it may be. And I think it's the right move for all three teams. Just get your guy. And I think New England, they just need a centerpiece guy, kind of a whiff on Mac Jones. They need that guy. They need more weapons. They need a left tackle, and they can work on that later. If you need receivers and tackles, this is the right draft for you. But for New England, take the quarterback at three. Don't mess around with trade downs or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's another team at four with Arizona. Honestly, I know they're going to get historic offers, even if it's just J.J. McCarthy on the board here. Minnesota's obviously looming, but I wouldn't trade out of this pick if I were the Cardinals.
You're not.
They need a lot of things. They need a lot of pieces on defense. They need, you know, they've shored up their offensive line a little bit, especially with Paris Johnson last year, but I just think they have to take Marvin Harrison here at four. I think he's the betting favorite to go there also. They have a shot to get a generational receiver. They haven't really had like a locked in number one receiver since, you know, since Larry Fitzgerald, and even a few years later on where he wasn't quite that. But they, to get Marvin Harrison Jr. in there with Kyler Murray and James Conner and Trey McBride and Michael Wilson and Greg Dortch, I think that's actually a really sneaky good offense if they add Harrison, but they need that number one guy. And I think it's just too obvious a pick not to make.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I think Marvin Harrison Jr., I think this is a pretty easy top four. At number five here, the Chargers, I think this is where it gets interesting. And I'm actually going to do the trade here. I think the Chargers are going to be the team that trades out of that number five pick. I think Jim Harbaugh really wants to add as many assets as possible. So I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings. What do you think they'll take here? 11-23. You think that's enough, or do you think I have to throw in like a third rounder next year too?
What are we looking at here? Are those, let's see, what are those two? Is that 89 and 108 right there?
Yeah.
I wonder if the Chargers would want something this year. So I would say throw in 89.
Oh, actually, no, it's not 89.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking the other way. No,
yeah,
that's the Chargers capital.
The,
my fault.
Yeah, 108 is the Vikings.
Yeah, throw in a third next year because the Vikings don't have a third this year. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that. All right, so third next year. I think that's a good trade. I think that's what we've been doing a lot for this predicted trade. So, all right, so the Vikings trade up here to number five overall. Which I think makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. One, Chargers, like I said, I think Jim Harbaugh really wants to get as many picks as possible. And I don't know if he really is going to prioritize receiver that highly. Even though they need it, I don't know if that's kind of the way Jim Harbaugh would operate. So I know Malik Nabers would be a great pick there, but I don't know if he's going to do that. I think he might want to trade down to 11-23 and just get more guys, more of his guys in the locker room, like he's already done so far. He's let a lot of guys walk already. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler, let a lot of the franchise, you know, faces walk. Jim Harbaugh is making this team the way he wants it. So I think that's why trading down makes a lot of sense. Also, again, this is not a I love this conspiracy theory, and I know you keep rolling your eyes whenever I say it, but the Jim Harbaugh trading out to get his guy, J.J. McCarthy, be a top five pick in the draft. I think there's something to that, too. Sending him to a great situation in Minnesota. So, obviously, Minnesota's trading up here to get a quarterback. It's going to be J.J. McCarthy, who I don't know if he this is not worth it, in my opinion. I would not do this if I'm Minnesota, but I think this is what's going to happen on draft night. So, I think Minnesota will take J.J. McCarthy here with that number five overall pick. And you know what? If there's any situation for J.J. McCarthy to succeed, it's in Minnesota, man. You got an excellent head coach in Kevin O'Connell calling plays for you. You got a really good offensive line with Christian Darrisaw and Brian O'Neill kind of blocking you at tackle. And then you got a really, really good receiving core as well with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and T.J. Hockenson at tight end as well. So I don't love J.J. McCarthy top five, but if there's a team to take him and if there's a team to extract that ceiling out of him, I think it is Minnesota at five.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. You just look at the supporting cast and good pass protection and Aaron Jones and Justin Jefferson. Those guys make your life a lot easier. I think for any of these guys to end up in Minnesota would be the ideal situation. Because before, you know, even before the Kirk Cousins signing, I was thinking about Atlanta and Minnesota as being the two ideal spots. Minnesota is just, for as well built as the Bears are now, Minnesota's even better on offense. You've got the best receiver in football and a really good supporting cast. That makes a lot of sense to me. And McCarthy, I think it's a spot more so than New England or Washington where he would succeed early on. Moving to the Giants here at six with McCarthy off the board, and there was whispers about them looking at the quarterback market, but with those four off the board, I think now they tilt to their actual needs. And we've been mentioning this a lot as an ideal pick. I'm with it. They should just take Malik Nabers out of LSU and get themselves a bona fide number one receiver they haven't had in a long, long time. The Giants had a lot of offensive line injuries last year, quarterback injuries, obviously. And even, you know, with the context of that, their weapons were just not good enough, right? And Nabers, he's an explosive chess piece weapon, ran, I believe it was a 4.35 at his pro day. Off the charts measurables, terrific after the catch. Played slot and outside right around 50-50. I think he was in the slot maybe 53% of the time, so he can play anywhere. Get the most explosive receiver, arguably, in this draft. He's the best after the catch. and just lock in a number one guy to make your offense a whole lot better on the outside.
Yeah, I love that fit as well for the Giants there at number six overall. I think that's a great pick for them. Malik Nabers probably should be a top five pick in this draft, and getting there at six I think would be a really, really good fit for a team that desperately needs help in that receiver room. All right, Tennessee here at number seven. This is one of the easiest picks in the draft, honestly, Dolan. So if you look at the betting odds on FanDuel right now, number one pick, Caleb Williams is minus odds. Number three overall pick, number two overall pick, Jaden Daniels is minus odds. Three, Drake May is minus odds, and then four, Marvin Harrison Jr. is minus odds. After that, you start getting plus odds for number five overall pick, number six, and number eight, nine, 10, all that, because it's just frankly harder to predict who's going to be the pick that late in the draft. However, at number seven, Joe Alt has minus odds. He is minus 135 to be the pick there for the Tennessee Titans at number seven overall. So it's pretty funny that, you know, five and six both have plus odds in this draft. Joe Alt at seven has minus odds. That's how much of a home run pick I think this is for Tennessee. Really good value for Joe Alt, who arguably is a top five player in this draft. I probably would argue that. Best tackle since Penei Sewell, in my opinion. 90-plus grades. He had a 90-plus grade as a run blocker, pass blocker. When you look over the last 2 years, he is a special, special talent, man. Such a complete prospect, and Tennessee desperately, desperately needs help at offensive tackle. You got Brian Callahan as the new head coach there. His father, Bill Callahan, legendary offensive line coach. He is now Tennessee's offensive line coach. You can bet that on draft night, if Joe Alt is there at seven, Bill Callahan's going to be in his son's ear and be like, listen, go get me that guy. Go get me that premier left tackle in Joe Alt. So this is one of the easiest picks, I think, in the draft. As easy, honestly, as Caleb Williams at one and Marvin Harrison Jr. as four. I think Joe Alt at seven is another one of those easy picks that you got right now.
Perfect. Perfect, perfect pick. I believe Titans left tackles were either 31st or dead last in pass protection grade last year. It's such an immense upgrade, and for them to get Alt at seven is a home run. I think one of the tougher decisions in the draft is next at number eight, and you've heard me talk about this Falcons scenario before. So first, I'm gonna ask you first if there's any of your teams, like one in particular, that might you think might or should trade up to this spot to get a quarterback.
Maybe not quarterback. I was thinking about Odunze, because I feel like at nine you want to jump to get Odunze. You want to jump Chicago. I don't think Buffalo is in a position where they can do that. So I'm not going to. I don't think they would be giving up a haul for sure.
It'd
be like a Julio Jones type haul, like what Atlanta did for Julio when they trade up with Cleveland to get him. I don't know if I would be able to do that, but don't look at the betting odds right now. I don't know if you're going to do this, but Dallas Turner is the betting favorite right now, plus 195 to go eight. I don't know if that's.
Those aren't good enough odds for me to lock it in. And you know me, I think it's on the table. I'm telling you right now, I know Raheem Morris is a defensive coach. I think obviously if he took Turner or Leatu Latu, I wouldn't blame him at all. If he needs a premier pass rusher, which they need, I get it. I'm on the fence here though. And I think it's more on the table than people think that Rome Odunze could end up in Atlanta. I think when you look at their offense, they are one weapon away from maybe being the best offense in the NFC. And I'm going to take Odunze here. It's a little gutsier than the obvious pick of a defensive lineman here, a pass rusher. But Odunze, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Darnell Mooney, Bijan Robinson, and their offensive line with Kirk Cousins in the middle, you know, behind it. Find me a better offense than that. And I think the chance to have maybe the best offense in football is something that can't be overstated. Like that's an offense. Honestly, that's a Super Bowl level offense.
Yeah.
If you add Odunze to it, I like Darnell Mooney, but I like him much better as a third option than a second one. And if Odunze were my second option or first or however you want him and Drake London to sort them, that's up to the fantasy people. I just think it would round out their offense to like best in the NFL potential. I would take Odunze here, and I think it's more of a consideration than people think if he's on the board.
Interesting. Yeah, that's not the one I would expect for Atlanta. I mean, to even have betting, there is no betting odds, I think, for Rome Odunze to even go.
That makes zero sense.
Oh, no, he's plus. Sorry, plus 700. He's plus 700. So he's third in betting odds behind Dallas Turner and Leatu Latu, or have better odds.
So, okay, So, I mean, that makes plenty of sense to me. They need an edge player, a pass rusher, maybe the most as their weakest kind of trait on their team. But if Odunze is sitting there, and there are some people who think Odunze might be wide receiver two in this draft, like that they love him that much, they think he's as good as Davante Adams, it would be very hard for me if I'm the Falcons not to just stack my offense and just find a way to be, I don't know, average on defense. Because their run defense was fine last year. They just need to pass rush. And they'll be good enough on defense. I think that's the road you take. And you stack your offense, find a way, Raheem, to coach up the defense, and let it rip with Cousins, man, back there, because you only had him for so long.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's going to happen, but I do. I would love that if they did do that. But I think Dallas Turner or Lati Lots is probably more likely for them. If this happens, actually, Dalton, so right now, the first 8 picks of this draft were offensive players. If this happens, it would actually set the new record for most offensive players taken to start the draft. The previous record was back in 2021 when J.C. Horn was the first defender taken at number 8 overall. So I think there's a chance that we could break that record this year, honestly. But I think that stops right here with the Chicago Bears. I was really, really hoping for Roman Dunze, who actually is the betting favorite to go number 9 overall. But since he's not here, I'm going to go with the guy who's the next favorite, according to FanDuel, and that is Jared Verse, the edge defender from Florida State, who you mentioned him in our last video doing perfect fits for every single team. The Bears could use another edge opposite of Montez Sweat, and I think he really fits that defense like you put it really well in our last video. So Jared Verse, not my personal edge one in this draft. Lati Latu is, but I think they would probably side with Jared Verse over Latu in this predictive mock draft. So I'm going to go Jared Verse here to Chicago.
It's a fantastic pick. And again, I'm with you. And I think much like the quarterbacks for me, the top three in the edge class are very, very tight. It's very close. I'm with you. I think Latu is the best one right now. I think the difference in his run defense from the other two is the separator. But Verse fits their defense the best. Matt Eberflus likes classic wide nine defensive ends in a three-point stance. And Jared Verse is actually the best one when it comes to that. The New York Jets at 10. There's a lot of arguments here about what they should do. This is another team. If Odunze were on the board, I'd have to seriously consider it here. He's not, so now we go in a different direction. And I think first, again, I'm going to ask you, this is a good spot for it. Is there anybody here who would trade up to this spot for another quarterback, a Penix or a Nix?
Not that I think. I'll hold tight.
Because I see those two teams at 12 and 13, and I wonder how much jockeying could happen there.
Well, we'll get into that in a second, but I think Denver and Las Vegas actually prefer a different guy than each other.
Okay, and they're going to sit tight based on that, we think?
I think so. I think Denver wants a different quarterback than Las Vegas wants at this point.
Deal. All right, we'll find that out as we go. Then we'll stay at 10 with the Jets. Then there's two options then. There is an offensive tackle for the future, even though they've revamped their offensive line, and then they have Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, and you know they've honestly A-plus job in free agency fixing their offensive line. John Simpson getting in there too. Look, if you've got Elijah Vera Tucker healthy at right guard, that's a line that got a whole lot better overnight. They're in win now mode. You've got a 40-year-old quarterback. You got Mike Williams on a 1-year contract. Tyron Smith on a 1-year contract. Morgan Moses on a 1-year contract. And a team that just, they haven't made the playoffs since 2010. They are in win-now mode. It's just such high urgency. And for me, I'm taking a piece that makes me better right now. Look, linemen take time to develop. A left tackle probably wouldn't even start ahead of Tyron Smith unless he gets hurt. I'm taking Brock Bowers at tight end. I think just take for me, if the Jets are really trying to make a postseason or even a deep postseason push, take something that helps you right now. Brock Bowers steps in there. Him and Tyler Conklin's actually a really good pair at tight end. I love it. Bowers adds after the catch ability, adds a whole lot of, even if they want to add some RPO into their offense with Rodgers and Hackett and all that. Garrett Wilson, Brock Bowers, Mike Williams, Breece Hall, Aaron Rodgers, new offensive line. I think I would take the best weapon available. If that's Odunze, cool. If it happened to be Neighbors for any reason, cool. Brock Bowers is the best weapon available, and I would put him on the Jets.
All right. He's actually the betting favorite, too, right now. He's plus 210 to go to the Jets. I love it, man. That would have been my pick here at 11 because I think Jim Harbaugh, we mentioned the Chargers fit before with Brock Bowers. If he got there at 11, man, Jim Harbaugh would be jumping for joy, and I think that'd be really good. But Brock Bowers, great pick there, honestly. And also, mentioned before how they really need a slot receiver. Brock Bowers could be that slot receiver for them easily. So I think that's a really good pick there for New York. All right, I'm here at 11. So since you took Brock Bowers away, I'm going to go with something different here. I'm going to go with a guy I actually took in my mock draft I wrote for PFF a couple weeks ago. That is Talisa Fuanga, the right tackle from Oregon State, who would slot in perfectly opposite Rashawn Slater for LA at right tackle. And you know Jim Harbaugh. I mentioned this time and time again. Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman, they're going to run that football, man. And Talisa Fuanga is the best run blocker in this draft. I think Jim Harbaugh is going to watch Fuanga's tape and fall in love with him. So I could see this being the pick for them at number 11 overall, getting your right tackle in the future opposite of Rashawn Slater. Yes, they need weapons, obviously, but with Brock Bowers off the board, with the top three receivers off the board, it's not worth taking one here at 11, and I think Talisa Fuanga would be a guy that I could very easily see Jim Harbaugh loving in this draft, so I'm going with him here at 11.
Reasonable, totally reasonable. And the more you talk about this scenario, the more I like it. They don't need a left tackle. I know there's been some talk about Joel. They don't need a left tackle. They have Rashawn Slater, and I know there's been made a lot about, like, oh, is it that hard to switch or this or that? But why not take a natural right tackle who makes their run game a whole lot better up front? I think they need another running back sometime later in this draft to really round that up. But, man, Fuanga would definitely – he would fit that vision for Harbaugh and Greg Roman, wouldn't he? I think the more you bring up that scenario, the more I like it, honestly. Fuanga, there's certain teams here, I think, including Vegas and Pittsburgh and Cincinnati – Eli's ideal fit there that would fit, but man, the Chargers, he would make them a lot better too. I don't hate that at all. It's a great first pick for them. This to me is probably the hardest team on the board, is Denver at 12.
Really?
Because you could make because they have so many quarterbacks,
right?
So, like, they need so much stuff. Like, I think the ideal thing for me would be actually to trade down like a handful of spots, maybe even like 8 to 10 spots. They don't have a second round pick. I don't think they pick again till 70 something. I can't remember, like 74 or something like that. Let's see, what is that number? They don't pick again till 76, actually.
Well, is there a trade down you like then, maybe? I'm trying to look right now because it would probably
this
be
is,
corner.
If I were Denver, I think they could still, because if we're going the quarterback route, and I'm assuming Bo Nix is the guy that we're talking about here, right?
Yeah.
I think I could get him at least. I don't know if the Rams would think about Nix at 19. They have too many needs on defense. I think I could move down maybe up to 10 spots and still get Nix. So if there's anybody you're itching for on the board here, if I'm Denver, I would really consider trading.
All right, so let's look at this real quick. Because I think the move up, if someone moves up, it'd probably be for a corner, right? To get ahead of Vegas, potentially, because I think Vegas
But this is the question: do we have a read on Vegas going quarterback too?
I don't think they will. If I had the next pick, I don't think they will. I do think Vegas really likes Michael Penix Jr. That's kind of what I was alluding to before, where I think Denver loves Bo Nix. I think Vegas loves Michael Penix Jr. But I think Vegas is more in a position to wait with Gardner Minshew there and Aiden O'Connell there, whereas Denver, I think, needs to get out of the first round with a quarterback. I don't think there's any way they can get out without
one. So is there – okay, so question. Is there a fit for a trade here? And is there a trade here that might get me, if I'm Denver, a second-round pick?
Ooh, yeah, I think that's the question, right? It has to be later. It has to be like in the 20s probably, right, for a team to move up and get a second-round pick out of it. I'm trying to see. There's no one really desperate for anything, it feels like. I'm trying to look.
I have an idea.
Hmm.
What about the Steelers?
To get Fashanu. Yeah. Let's do it. I like that
a lot. Would 20 and 51 make sense to get up to 12?
Hold on. Let me look at the draft trade value.
It's telling me they're not interested, which doesn't – I don't care if they're not interested.
No, let's look. We'll look at the trade value chart because I think that'd probably be a better way of what 20 and 51 for what, 12?
For 12.
So let's see, two.
If I can come out of this, right, if I'm Denver with my quarterback and a second round pick, I think that would be ideal for me because I can fill in more gaps. They have so many needs.
So yeah, so right now, so 12th pick is worth 347 on the trade value chart, and 20 and 51 would be 381. So it's pretty close.
Okay, so do we throw back maybe?
Maybe throw fourth? In. What do you have?
If I throw in either, what does it look like if I throw in either 121 or 136?
That's 23. So. What do you? You're what? 34? Yeah, I think like 121 should do it, right?
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do 12 and 121 for 20 and 51.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do that. Let's get the Steelers up here.
I like that a lot because I mentioned this time and time again. So you have the Steelers at 20. You're going with what they should do, right?
Give me Olufashinu here. Yeah. I need a left tackle in Pittsburgh. We can leave Broderick Jones on the right side in that scenario. I would have loved for Fuaga for them with Arthur Smith's system. I think that's an ideal fit too. But they so badly, even with – so they have Wilson and they have Justin Fields now at quarterback. They so badly need pass protection for it to work, though. Wilson's not quite as mobile as he used to be. And even if he was, I don't care. You can't be – I think they were 30th or 31st in pass protection grade last year. They have to do better. They have to do better. And they need – Fashanu would bring – you could argue he's the best pure pass protector in this draft. I think the Steelers for Fuaga or Fashanu could really maneuver themselves into one of those guys, especially if the other one's already gone. I don't think this is a crazy move, and I think it's a move they need to make.
They moved up for guys before. So the Steelers have done that before. And also, you look at who's in front of them, Steelers, before. The Raiders could easily take a tackle at 13. Saints, I think, is almost a lock to take a tackle at 14. And then you look at maybe the Seahawks at 16, maybe even the Jaguars at 17, Bengals, of course, at 18. There's a lot of teams in front of the Steelers that would take Fashanu before them. So I think this is the number one guy I think they should want in the draft is Fashanu, obviously outside Joe Alt. But I think this is a great move for the Steelers and a great move for the Broncos as well. So I think this is really makes a lot of sense for all parties. So Fashanu there, the Steelers 12. As a Pittsburgh fan, I am a big fan of that. We got the Raiders here at 13. Now it's tougher because now you got both Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. on the board. Where do the Raiders pick again in the second round? They have the 44th overall pick. It's in the second round. Yeah. They could move. I think they could move up from that second round pick to get one of these quarterbacks. Because I think Penix is going to last to the second round at this point. Unless someone trades up. I'm actually going to pass on quarterback here. I'm going to go with... I mentioned before that you could use a tackle, but I think more likely they might just take Quinyon Mitchell, man. I think Quinyon Mitchell would fit the defense really well. They really need help in that secondary. I think this is the spot where I think the first... corner is going to come off the board here. So I'm going to go Quinyon Mitchell here to the Raiders at 13.
The man from Toledo is the first corner off the board. Love
I think
it.
He
and
will
I,
be.
And I know, and I already know why you did that, actually, but we'll get there in a minute.
Why?
We'll see on the next pick.
All right.
I already know where you're going with this because we've been preaching this for 2 months. But anyway, the Saints at 14 here. Tell you what, the more I thought about it, the more they could consider... They could consider a weapon here. They could think about it. You know, when you talk about this might be the first spot where we start thinking about Brian Thomas. And something I brought up in our last episode was the possibility of if Brock Bowers fell here, it's possible. But I'm going to lean away from it. They also are a team that needs to get better in the trenches. And I think a left tackle, this is a big thing now with the Steelers jumping New Orleans. You mentioned the Saints probably taking a tackle, and I agree with it. Give me Troy Fautanu from Washington. They just need, whether it's him moving inside or Trevor Penning moving inside, however they have to maneuver it, they have to get better in pass protection. And we don't even know Ryan Ramczyk's situation right now on the right side. So the Saints, look, Derek Carr is a quarterback who cannot succeed with subpar pass protection. They still have Chris Olave. They still have Alvin Kamara. They still have Taysom Hill. They have decent weapons. Rashid Shaheed. They can find receivers later. They need to take the next best pass protector on the board, especially at left tackle, and that's Troy Fautanu. So that's where I'm going for the Saints.
I think it's a great pick. I think that's probably what they're going to do. If that's how the board falls at 14, and you got Fuaga, Fashanu, and all off the board. I think Troy Fatano is probably the most likely selection there for them at 14. I think they're almost locked into taking a tackle. I'd be surprised if it's not a tackle, honestly, at 14. 15 here for the Colts. Yeah, you mentioned it before. This is my favorite pick of the draft. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think this is a pick that I would love for the Colts to make. Now, I do think that Quinyon Mitchell is also a great scheme fit for Indianapolis, so I'm not taking away from that. But now that he's off the board, I'm going to go with Cooper DeJean here to Indianapolis here at 15. Like I said before, the Colts run zone coverage by far the most in the NFL. Gus Bradley ran it last year on over 76% of his plays, which was far and away the highest rate in the NFL. Cooper DeJean, off coverage, obviously, too. Cooper DeJean thrives in off coverage and zone coverage with his IQ, his athleticism as well. I just think he is a guy that would fit perfectly in that Indianapolis Colts defense, and they could use help at corner and safety. Again, we think Cooper DeJean is more of a corner in the NFL, can play outside, can play in the slot, but if you need him to play safety, he could do that too. So I think he fits both needs there for the Indianapolis. I think he is the best pick they can make there at 15. I would love that fit for Indianapolis if he actually is the pick at number 15 overall.
Totally agree. Just the perfect fit. The perfect fit. The Colts need help. They have Kenny Moore on the inside, but they need a lot of help on the outside. Juju Brents has talent, could get better in the next couple of years. Him and DeJean is a good foundation there on the outside to really help out. They just need more. They need more explosive players on the outside on both sides of the ball. And DeJean, maybe people don't think of him as explosive, but I believe he ran a 4.43. And if you've ever seen the high school basketball highlights,
dude, crazy.
Tell me he's not explosive. He's a freak athlete. And we've been in this boat. He's not a safety. Don't put him in safety. You could argue with me about him putting him in the slot. He can play in the slot for sure. He's a corner. And for now, leave him at corner in that defense and let it rip. Seattle here at 16. They need help in the trenches on both sides. It feels like, Max, that Jackson Powers Johnson is going to go later than this, right?
From a lot of the things that
we've heard between positional value and just where teams are valuing Powers Johnson right now. It would be a thought here. This could be another trade down spot if that's what they were angling for, although I think he would get swiped not too far after this. So if you had a trade down here, I wouldn't hate it.
I don't think I do.
If you don't, I'm going to take the best player on the board. Seattle's edge group needs a lot of help. Boye Mafe is a good player. There's not a whole lot past that. I'm going to keep Leatu Latu on the West Coast, actually send him back to Seattle where he started his college career, and give me our edge one to Seattle to really beef up their, not just their pass rush. He's an excellent run defender too. And Seattle's run defense is really what let them down the stretch last season. He makes their front seven better in pretty much every way imaginable. And Mike McDonald has a foundational piece in his front seven.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great pick. I don't know if he's going to go above Dallas Turner is the only thing that, keeps me from that. But I think Dallas Turner, it's close between the two of them for sure. But I think that's a great pick for Seattle. It's the pick I would want if I'm a Seahawks fan. Honestly, there's a lot to go in there. All right, I got the Jags here at 17. Another interesting team. I think they can go a couple of ways here. I think they're going to go probably either corner or edge, I think, in the actual NFL draft. So I'm going to lean those two spots right there. Obviously, Dallas Turner still on the board. I'm going to go actually with his teammate. I'm going to go with Terron Arnold here to Jacksonville at 17. I think he's probably the pick that I would expect the most for Jacksonville. I think he's a guy that obviously had a great year this past year. Very, very athletic corner. Still some work to do in his technique, but in his footwork, but I think he's a very, very high ceiling corner, and Jacksonville needs that in their DB room right now. So Terron Arnold is probably the guy I would go with here at 17 for the Jaguars.
Well, this just got fun. This got a little bit of fun. There's a decision to make here. I'm trying to see if there's anybody.
Eli's up now.
Eli's. I was gonna say. I was gonna ask you if we're letting Eli do this, and I was like, man,
absolutely. He's done every other pick.
This is a fun decision, man. For him, go ahead, Eli.
I mean, if it's what we think is gonna happen, I mean, the most recent Schrager mock, most recent. It's his only one, really, and he does his based on what he hears from GMs, coaches around the league, stuff like that. He has them going Byron Murphy out of Texas,
Stop.
Which makes a lot of sense to me. I don't think that's what the Bengals would do. In this situation, if the board falls this way, I really think they take Mims. I think it's between Mims and Murphy for them. I think Murphy fits more of their defensive scheme than I think Jerzon does. But personally, I like Jerzon more.
Yep.
But I think here it's between Mims or Murphy to me. Dalton, what was your lean?
I think Latham's a consideration too.
Yeah,
for
I'll say
sure.
Latham, yeah.
If they're gonna run their defense the same way they have, and they're just gonna have a straight replacement for Reader, I'm with you on Murphy. It makes more sense than Newton, but I can see the argument for Newton too if they want to change it up and be a little more athletic. I think any of these four trench guys that we have on the top five left make an absolute ton of sense. I don't really know that there's a wrong pick among any of them. It's just their preference.
Eli, who are you going with?
Since this is predictive,
yep,
I'm going to go with Mims.
Okay.
I think it's a good fit. Like, to me, he gives me parallels of Trent Brown just because of they mm-hmm. both are kind of athletically gifted guys, but they both have had issues staying on the field. Right. So I think, to me, it's a really good fit to be – you're not forcing Mims in to start week one, but odds are he's going to get some snaps and some starts in year one. So I think Mims would be the pick for the Bengals here.
Okay. All right, Marius Mims going to Cincinnati. Okay, this is tough, man.
This is a hard one. If the board – it probably – this is hard because we're so – here's the thing. We're so in on Latu that now you've got Turner still on the board. This is
that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think there's any way he falls this far. But like, do they take right now? So you look at the top three players on our big board left. I think those are exactly the three players we're looking at right now. Is Newton, Murphy,
yes,
and Turner?
Somebody has to fall. There's so much talent and offensive talent in this draft. Somebody has to fall.
I'm gonna say Turner. I think the tackle might be a bigger need, but I think Newton's a better player, and maybe Murphy too. But I think I don't see Turner falling this far, whereas I could see it for Newton and Murphy. So just for the sake of this mock looking maybe a little bit better when it actually happens, and not having Turner fall way further than he actually will, but he might go 8 overall. Honestly, that's where he's favored to go. I'm gonna go Turner here, and I think he fits that 3-4 defense really well as well. And they use some speed in that room. Like, they have Kobe Turner at D tackle. I know they need another one, but they don't have too much at edge to get excited about. So I'm going to go Dallas Turner here to the Rams at 19. I think this is probably what they would do.
With as much talent as there is in this draft, it looks weird that Turner would go 19th, but look at the 18 guys ahead of him.
Yeah.
And honestly, and this is where Atlanta's really like kind of a breaking point for this draft. If they do that and they went Odunze, it changes, like, look what it did. It just changed the next 11 picks.
Right.
So, you know, it's very, he could go as high as 8. I think 19, though, is the lowest he would fall. I'm with you. I don't think Dallas Turner would get by the Rams. I think it'd be, yeah. I think it's an A-plus pick based on just the value and what they need. That works big time. All right. We're back to Denver at 20.
Worked out perfectly for you.
Worked out perfect. Traded down. Got my second round pick. Now I can take my quarterback, and the wide-ranging assumption is that it's Bo Nix, yeah, right? He just seems to be the, like, conservative, precise passer that Sean Payton used to have, especially with late-career Drew Brees. He's got his quarterback. He's got a second-round pick. This team has a ton of needs. I would love for them, again, in this scenario, to get more assets, which here they did. They got a second-round pick they didn't previously have. Now you build around Bo Nix. I need weapons. I need a better defense. I need maybe even a tight end at some point. But Bo Nix can be the centerpiece of this offense. And, you know, they're going to need time to develop him anyway. It's not going to look great early on. It's just not. Denver does not have a ton of talent. Wouldn't even shock me if they were picking top 3 to 5 next year. But yeah, if you lock in Bo Nix and you're committed to him and Sean Payton's committed to him, then let it rip here at a lower draft slot. I like this a lot.
Yeah, Denver is currently tied for third worst Super Bowl odds right now. Only the Panthers and Patriots have worse Super Bowl odds. So there's a very real chance Denver is picking top 3 to top 5 next year. And that's probably – we're going to do a 2025 mock that's coming out immediately after the 2024 draft. It's going to be based off the odds, obviously. And so Denver will have a very high pick. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there with that high pick. But, yeah, I think that's – this is their guy. I think, you know, Russell Wilson, one of the biggest reasons why it didn't work with him and Sean Payton was he was a guy that just freelanced a lot. You know, he did kind of what he wanted to do. And Sean Payton runs an offense that is very much, you know, run it the way it's designed. And that's exactly what Bo Nix did at Oregon. So I think Bo Nix is a guy that Sean Payton's going to love having there as a guy who's just going to run the offense he designs at a very high level. And he could hope that eventually turns into like a, you know, maybe like a Drew Brees-esque type player. Not as good, obviously, as a Hall of Famer. But you can hope that he's going to run the offense like Drew Brees did with Sean Payton there. So I think that's a great pick there. And I think if they could trade down and get him, man, and get a second-round pick out of it too, I think it's a home run draft for the Denver Broncos, who desperately needs to hit home runs right now. All right, I am up with the Miami Dolphins here at 21. Between two players.
Question.
Go ahead.
Question real quick. I have a trade-up offer. I might need you to take out the chart real quick.
Okay.
I'm the Buffalo Bills at 28, and I want to trade up to this spot.
Okay. Actually, I don't hate it, because if I'm the Dolphins, so what I was happy if I'm the Dolphins here, because you have your pick of Newton or Murphy, which I think is what they would do. But okay, if you go down to 28,
there's a decent chance that one of those two
is still there, right? Yeah.
Yep. So at 28, and we might need to loosely chart this. So the Bills, they pick at 60, and then they don't pick again until late in the fourth round. Now, I would like to keep number 60, but I've got two second-rounders next year. Where would, like, a middle-of-the-second-round pick compare on the chart if I'm moving up from 28 to 21? Let's just say pick 50.
Yeah, it's actually more. But it might – so that'd be a – you'd be overpaying for sure. Because right now the difference between the 28 and 21 is 52 points, and a middle of second round pick is like around 115 points. You'd be like, that'd be a significant overpay.
Okay. So what's how about a third round pick?
A third rounder would be perfect pretty much. But
if I send you next year's third rounder to move up seven spots, you taking it?
I'm just looking at the teams in front of or that would be in front of me and whether or not Newton and Murphy are both, or Newton and or Murphy would both be there. I think they would, right? I can't.
Philly wouldn't take one of them.
Philly wouldn't. I don't think LA would. Dallas might, but I don't think they would. Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I'm down.
All right.
And I'm praying that Newton and Murphy don't get there.
Well, there's other options too, though. The Dolphins don't just.
Yeah.
Have one.
No, I love the idea of one of them there, though. All right, so you get
a third rounder next year, and if you don't mind, we'll swap that, and you can take the Dolphins later, and I can take the Bills. Although I think you probably know where I'm going with this right now, right?
I'm assuming receiver.
I'm taking Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, do it.
I think I like the fit. We had it as an ideal fit in our last episode. Vertical threat, 99.9 deep receiving grade, 17 touchdowns last year. Doesn't replace the versatility that Stephon Diggs gave him, but certainly and probably upgrades the speed and vertical threat that Gabe Davis gave them. Look, Thomas, a legit 4-3 guy, got explosive speed. Him and Josh Allen's arm, I think, is a perfect pairing in that offense. You've got a lot of threats underneath. James Cook, Dalton Kincaid. I love Khalil Shakir. I think he's one of the most underrated players in football. They signed Curtis Samuel. Get Brian Thomas to take the top off, and the Bills will get a lot better really quick than they're looking right now.
Yeah.
What was the other pick for the Bills? I missed that one.
Next year's
third rounder.
Okay. And then they Brian Thomas Jr.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. Very complicated. We're going deep right now. I love it.
Yeah. You guys are making my job super easy. Super easy.
Yeah. I told Eli we're doing a full seven rounds too. So we're going through it right now.
Might not have a producer tomorrow.
All right, Dalton, you're actually up again here at 22 for the Eagles.
Oh, I am. And you know what? I did that with the intent of stealing Brian Thomas from the Eagles. So now I made the Eagles' life a little bit harder.
I feel like corner, right?
I would have loved to have Terrion Arnold here. I would have loved it.
You think
the thing with the Eagles is they struggle so much in slot coverage. And the two first-round guys that can play in the slot are DeJean and Arnold.
Yeah.
So it did get a little bit harder for me here, but they could still just take a corner and maybe move. Is Darius Slay capable of playing in the slot?
Probably. I feel like they're going to take one here. If Wiggins and McKinstry are both here, I feel like they're going to take one of them. I feel like Wiggins more likely too, even though I love McKinstry.
Wiggins? Why Wiggins?
I think they love athletes, and I think Nate Wiggins is obviously a better athlete than Kool-Aid. I also think Nate Wiggins is going to go above Kool-Aid in the draft. I think it's more likely he goes above Kool-Aid. So I think that's the pick if they're going to take a corner here.
Seeing if there's any other options. This would still, I think this is still a sneaky spot for Powers Johnson. Get your Jason Kelsey replacement too.
I don't hate that either. I think if we're going predictive though, like what I would predict is Wiggins, but I don't hate Jax Powers Johnson at all if you want to do that.
No, I'm gonna leave it. I'm gonna go with that. I'm between Wiggins and Kool-Aid. I think ideally, if I'm the Eagles, I would want Tyrion Arnold to fall to me. Right. I just don't know if he would get that far. They might be a team looking to trade up a few spots to get Tyrion Arnold, because with Vic Fangio's defense now is a little bit different too. So, yeah, we'll do it. We'll go with Nate Wiggins here. They lost out on Brian Thomas. I think they could use one more receiver. It's a receiver heavy draft, and Wiggins, he's got immense talent. Let's be real here. He weighed in a little bit light. I think it was at 173 pounds, yeah. but he's got immense talent. His closing speed. Did he run a 4.28? Is
yeah,
that right?
High 4.2s. Yeah.
He's got freaky length and freaky speed and as much potential as anyone in this draft. I'll take the talent angle and take Wiggins for Philly. Yeah. That makes sense.
Actually, I'm looking at the consensus board right now. Wiggins is projected to go to the Eagles, the most likely consensus. He actually is 22 overall on the board. Tyrion Arnold actually is consensus CB1 right now over Quinyon Mitchell. He's not by much. He's number 11 and Mitchell's number 12, but still pretty surprising. I am in a conundrum right now, Dalton, because I have a guy here at 23, that I would take if I'm the Chargers. I do not know if Jim Harbaugh is going to like this guy in Adonai Mitchell. I don't know. I don't know if this is the type of guy that Jim Harbaugh is going to want. And he's the top receiver on the board, I think. And I think the Chargers need to get a receiver. But I could see Jim Harbaugh watching his tape and seeing some of the effort concerns. And he's the type of guy that might be turned off by that. So I'm kind of stuck right now. I would do it if I'm the Chargers. But in a predictive mock draft, I don't know if they would like him. So I'm stuck. I don't know.
That's a hard one. Well, look. Maybe they don't have to go receiver.
And they wait to the second
right?
round.
What's the rest of their draft capital look
they
like?
They have 37.
37. You could take a receiver at 37. You could go elsewhere here.
I think I'm going to go 37,
elsewhere. Franklin or McConkie or somebody. Xavier Leggett. Man, if that was their number one receiver, I wouldn't complain either. I don't think you have to go receiver here to force it.
Yeah, I feel like another boomer bust guy like Adonai Mitchell – already with a guy who's already boomer bust and Quentin Johnston. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying there's significant concerns with Adonai Mitchell. I could just see some of the stuff. Like, there are some concerns with him, you know, running half speed on a lot of routes. I could just see Jim Harbaugh being the kind of coach who's just like, I don't want that, man. I don't want that in my room at all. I don't think he's going to value receiver as much as he should, honestly, either. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to want to build elsewhere. So, I'm not going receiver here. I took Fuanga already for them. Could use a corner.
Boy, one of those top two guys would look good, too.
One of those top two, and I think that's where they're going to go. So I'm going to go with one of the top two D-tackles on the board between Newton and Murphy. I think Murphy's going to go higher than Newton, even though I don't think it should happen. So I'm going
to... Is there one of the other that would fit Minter's defense better?
Probably...
That's the thing too. Jimmy saw Newton tearing up his offensive line a lot too at Illinois.
I know. What do you think? Do you have it up? Yeah, because I'm stuck between these two right now. I feel like Murphy's gonna go higher, which is why I'm leaning Murphy. But I could see Harbaugh loving Newton just being a Big Ten guy and like seeing him all the time. Well, not all the time. They played like twice, I think. But still.
You know what? We talked in our last episode about getting Newton's personality to L.A. Let's do it this way.
All right, let's do it.
Let's get him in the Chargers. Right, let's do it. Let's make that the tiebreaker.
And I feel like Harbaugh's going to love Newton, too. He's the type of guy that Harbaugh's going to fall in love with. So, all right, we'll do Newton. I do think Murphy's going to go higher on draft night, but I like Newton more, and I think they're going to do that. So, yeah, do that. I'm happy we pivoted away from Adonai Mitchell, because you look at it right now, Talisa Fuanga and Drazon Newton, that is a Jim Harbaugh first round, man. That is exactly what he wants.
Look, Newton look undersized, but let's not forget the fact that he's a wicked run stopper.
Yeah.
Like, it's different. It's not like the Texas guys where he's like overpowering, two-gapping people. He's an athletic, penetrating run stopper, and maybe that is Harbaugh's flavor, man. I think I think it works. I do. I think it just they came out of this first round getting better at running and stopping the run. I think Jim Harbaugh is all about it. I don't hate that pick at all.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This is a hard one too. This is a hard one with Dallas at 24. They have so many needs. They lost a ton of guys in the trenches in free agency. I would. This is another team that if Brian Thomas were on the board, I would take him in a heartbeat. But I don't love Mitchell as a fit for them, even though he's a Texas guy. I don't love Mitchell as a fit for them as much as Thomas. Like, their offense works best when it's working down the field, and I really like Thomas better for that. So,
Latham, maybe?
Say again?
Latham, you think? They need a tackle.
Latham is – see, they lost – they lost their center and their left guard, too, though.
I feel like Latham could play guard for a little bit. Or even move Tyler Smith out to tackle. He could do that.
Well, Tyler Smith, it appears that they're going to put Tyler Smith at left tackle.
Yeah.
There is something here, too, that about Graham Barton.
I was just going to say Graham Barton, too. I kind of like that.
Because you know what? If you get him in camp and Grant Barton's the best left tackle on their team, then you leave Smith at guard. I'll tell you what, you've got some movable pieces, and I think they're kind of stuck with Terrence Steele's contract. I could be wrong on that, even though it's not the best right tackle you could have. I think I'm actually leaning in on it. Would you go Graham Barton or Byron Murphy here?
Texas guy. I think Barton, though. I think they're going to take an offensive lineman. I would be surprised if they don't take an offensive lineman.
Because they went D-tackle last year, too, with Mozzie, but they've lost a lot on their D-line.
Yeah. Well, actually, according to our mock draft simulator, I'm looking at what the Cowboys fans do. Over 65% of the time, it's either a tackle or interior offensive lineman. And Barton fits both. So I think Barton actually be a great prediction here. I could very easily see the Cowboys doing that. Yeah.
I'm going with that, and there's some other teams behind here that it hurts me to not get him to, like especially like a San Francisco. But you know, with Barton and Tyler Smith, and especially Barton's ability to play center, because they lost Biotish in free agency, and they obviously lost Tyron Smith. But you've got Tyler Smith who could play tackle or guard. You've got Graham Barton who I think could play any of the five positions. What if we went into the year and Barton and Smith were their two tackles? I don't know. I think Barton's flexibility makes this a lot easier pick. And if he's their starting center, then so be it.
Yeah. No, that's a good pick. I think that's I could very easily see that happen on draft night. I'm up here with the Green Bay Packers at 25. So if I'm a Dolphins fan, I am biting my fingernails right now because I feel like Byron Murphy would be a great pick for them. But I'm not going to go that here. I'm actually going to go offensive line. Actually, no, excuse me. I'm going to go – ooh, should I do that? I think I'm going to go corner here. I think. Yeah, I'll go corner. I'm going to go I'll go Kool-Aid to the Packers here at 25. It's around where I think he's going to go, but
I'm thinking if maybe, because if you're this unsure about it, maybe do I want to get in this spot with anybody?
With Penix?
I don't know that I have to do Penix yet, because none of these next seven jump at me as a team that would take Penix.
Trade up for Adonai Mitchell? Like
maybe
KC potentially getting him?
No, I don't think. I was thinking more. Well, you have the Lions. I was thinking more about the Lions.
Yeah,
for Mitchell or McKinstry.
Well, also like I don't know who would take Mitchell. After 25, I'll lock in Kool-Aid. I'll go Kool-Aid here at 25.
Okay,
we'll lock that in. Yeah, that's interesting though. That's an interesting call out because I feel like that could happen. Someone moving up for Adonai Mitchell, I can see that happening. All right, you're up with the Bucks 26.
This is a hard one because the Bucks. You know what it is with the Bucks is they don't need. I would have taken McKinstry here if you didn't. That would have been an easier pick. That made this pick a lot harder. So they went – you set it D-tackle, so you really don't need Murphy when you're talking about Vea and Cansey. Mitchell, I think, is kind of redundant to their receiving core. Like, the Bucs have a lot of needs at non-premium positions. which makes this a little harder. Boy, they don't need a safety. It's not Newbin. This, the see, and the Bucks. Oh, we could do the thing, Max. You know what? The Bucks are in a they're in a position with as many needs as they have to take who they think is the best player available. And I think I'm going to make Eli scroll down just a tick or two there and take a take a gamble on maybe a home run talent. And this is something we've mentioned before. We'll go down there a little bit. Let's get who we think is Chop. The next best pass rusher. Yeah. We're going to get Chop Robinson.
I agree.
That's great. Because it's just, when I look at their needs, they don't need a tackle. Their two tackles are really good. They don't need a D-tackle. Those two guys are set. You took my corner, the pick before. They need... tight end isn't a thing right here. Like, I just run out of options. Powers Johnson was a thought, too. They need some help on the interior, but I think they take a home run swing. And if, you know, Shaq Barrett just left, he went to Miami. They need, like, a prime pass rusher, and Chop at least has the talent to do that. I would take a home run swing here with Chop Robinson.
That's a great pick. That's exactly what I was thinking too for Tampa Bay. Fits that 3-4 defense really well too. All right, I kind of screwed the Miami Dolphins here at 27 because I the way this board fell, I didn't think it was going to fall this way. I have to take Byron Murphy here to the Cardinals. I think that's sure probably who they're gonna take, and of course it happens right before where Miami's up and Murphy are off the board now, but. I think it's a great fit for Arizona. If you get Byron Murphy and you get Marvin Harrison Jr., I mean, on our big board, that's two top 15 talents in the draft, and you get them at 4 and 27. So that's a great first round for Arizona, and I think that's probably who they would go with if the board falls this way.
Yeah, I'm with that. I'm all for that, man. That's you know, I've talked about the Cardinals having a lot of needs and just needing just premier talents, man, and to get two guys like that is – this is the A-plus draft, I think, for the Cardinals, man. I don't know if Murphy would fall that far, but if they got Murphy in the middle on defense and Harrison up there at four, I think they would walk out of night one really, really happy.
Yeah. Am I up here Dolphins. With 28, right? Because we traded?
Yeah, you could take that. And I think I know where you're probably going.
I'm going J.C. Latham here. Is that who you think?
Oh.
No? Who are you thinking?
No, I thought you were going Powers Johnson.
No, I think they're going to take Latham. I think... yeah, I'll go Latham here. I think he could play in the interior if you need him to. But I think he's the kind of guy that they would want in that room. And I think Teron Armstead's getting up there in age. He's obviously battled injuries a lot of his career. Right now they have Teron Armstead and Austin Jackson, who look better. But I don't think it's a long-term tackle duo for Miami. Latham could be one of those guys. He could play interior, too. He's done that before. I think J.C. Latham. I'd be surprised if he fell this far on draft night. But I think that's who Miami would go with in this scenario if the top two D tackles off the board. So I'm going to go J.C. Latham here to Miami at 28.
I thought you were going JPJ there. I thought you were going to go on the inside.
I didn't think about that, but I think Latham is more likely to go higher, and I think he'd fit Miami a little bit better as a guy who can long-term play tackle and also could play interior for now until Armstead retires, or maybe Jackson just, you know, isn't good enough, or Armstead gets hurt, or whatever happens. I think he could play tackle long term, but he could play interior for the time being, I think, too.
Okay. All right. Well, you're up at 29 also.
Oh, true. Yes. All right. So I got the Lions here at 29. I would love a corner here, but I just don't. There's no one I want to take.
This one's easy.
Adonai Mitchell, right?
It is.
Yeah.
I would. It's not a thing until you decide it's your pick, but that's here's what I'll say with Mitchell and the route running and the intermediate and the in cuts and stuff. More like when you look at Mitchell possibly going from a range of like, let's say in the 20s or, you know, all the way to the end of the round, he fits Detroit's offense the best.
Yeah, I love that. The only one I was kind of looking at was JPJ too, because I feel like that'd be a great pick, and I feel like Dan Campbell would love him. But I'm going to go Adonai Mitchell. I think that is one of their biggest needs as a receiver right now. One of their biggest needs is a receiver, but if you get one more guy to go with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams, and then you have Josh Reynolds as your number four receiver with Adonai Mitchell's number three, that'd be really good. And again, if anyone could extract the ceiling out of Adonai Mitchell, I think Ben Johnson and Detroit would be a really, really good fit there. So I think that's a good call. That's probably where I was leaning to, and I think that's what they would do here at 29.
I think it's what needs to come to the forefront with some of these decisions is that at least, 60 to 65% of the time now, football is played with 11 personnel versus nickel personnel, right? Making the need for three great receivers and three great corners, including slot corners, just so important. And if I'm looking at, we mentioned those teams earlier, but right now, like you mentioned, I know they have Sam LaPorta at tight end. He's a great player. But you have Jameson Williams, who's still pretty unproven, if we're being honest, and St. Brown, who's great. I need something else. And even Josh Reynolds before was kind of like just decent, and now he's gone. I got a hole on the outside. If I fill it with Adonai Mitchell, I'm living, man.
Yeah.
I think Mitchell, St. Brown, and Williams, plus LaPorta and Gibbs and Montgomery and all that stuff. Now you're talking, I think that would make them, not that they weren't Super Bowl contenders probably already, but that would solidify it for me.
Yeah.
Ravens at 30. What's it going to be? So you have Ronnie Stanley and you have Linderbaum, but you lost the other three. I've been big on this Ravens offensive line. I don't think it's been talked about enough that they've lost three starters.
Right.
And where right now is Tyler Guyton on this consensus board?
High. I think he's going to be first. I don't like him that much, but he's 30 overall. In actually, the Ravens are where most people project him to go to. So I think Guyton would be a good.
That's a plug-and-play right tackle, isn't it?
I
like Jordan Morgan, but you got to move him over. A smoother transition might be for Guyton.
Yeah. I think Guyton's the guy I would go with here if I were you. I don't like him that much. I think he's a day two talent, but I think he's going to go first round, and I think Baltimore is a really good spot for him to predict him to go to. So I think you're the right idea there.
It's reasonable. Yep.
What are your Tyler thoughts Guyton. On him? Are you like high on Guyton or? I'm not really a big fan.
I don't know that he's a first round pick. I think he's much more in the early to mid second round conversation. It's just Oklahoma too. That's not a pro style offense at all. It's very it kind of hides guys in pass protection. He's not my favorite guy, but there seems to be a lot of projection with him where he could be really good. I'm going to let it rip here with Guyton to the Ravens and knowing that they're one of the best teams in the NFL at developing offensive linemen.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good call. At there at 30. That's probably who I was actually going to go with here at 31 if he fell to me. But he didn't. So I think I have an idea of what I'm going to do. But I'm between a couple of players because I want to go offensive line here. I don't think Jordan Morgan's going to be a first-round pick. But that was one of the guys I was considering. I'm more likely considering JPJ. And I know they kind of need help at tackle, and he can't play tackle, obviously, because he has short arms even for a center. But I think he could help out the interior offensive line. Jake Brendel, their center, is okay. He's like an average center. Obviously, they got John Feliciano, who's good. But after that, you got Aaron Banks, that is your other guard, and Spencer Burford is the other guard, too. I think JPJ would slot in immediately as one of their starters, and they need help on the offensive line. So I would have loved a tackle that to fall to me here. I don't know if I would reach on Jordan Morgan here. I think I'd probably rather go JPJ to the 49ers. I think he would really fit in that zone-heavy scheme that Kyle Shanahan runs as well. So I'm going to go JPJ to the 49ers at 31.
Got to like that he can play center or guard, too, to help them really at any of those three spots. Big time. I don't hate that at all. I think the Niners are a tough one because they need stuff in the trenches for sure. And they've got some questions. I think they've got more questions than me on defense.
Corner I like, if they're one of those top corners fell to me, I would have taken him there, but none of them fell, so I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I could see that. All right, JPJ. All right. The easy thing here to do would be receiver or tackle, but we keep talking about how deep these receiver and tackle classes are. And if you're the Chiefs, you know, let's see their trade cap or their draft capital real quick. Pretty standard.
Who would real quick before you make a selection, anyone trade up here to get the fifth year option for Michael Penix Jr.?
That's where I was going.
Okay.
That's where I was going. I don't know if they would do it. Division rivals, all that stuff behind the scenes, whatever. Oh, true.
They definitely wouldn't do it with the Raiders to get a quarterback. I don't think they would do that.
To get draft capital, they might.
I know, but you're risking... I don't know. I feel like those trades only happen when it's not a quarterback. When it is a quarterback, though, it's like, ugh, I don't know. That's tough. That's a tough call. Yeah. Who else? Who else is out there that needs a quarterback that we could do?
Well, hang on. You'd be talking about, well, I'd have to see the order. Because if you're the Chiefs, you don't want to move down too far. Like, if you were still in a range for Jordan Morgan or another tackle, or because I think there's plenty of second round receivers they would be happy with. Xavier Leggett or Ricky Pearsall or McConkey hasn't been taken yet.
Yeah, I was just trying to get one last fun team in here. One last fun thing to do is, like, I'm just trying to think who would trade up, though, besides the Raiders.
Well, I think at this point you're looking at a team looking to develop. Or, okay, fun one, because I think this is a scenario in this range that's been – what about the Giants?
Yeah.
Could the Giants walk out of here with Malik Nabers and –
Michael Penix. It would be awesome if we did Roman Dunze for them at six. That would have been hilarious if we got Roman Michael in there. But
oh, they'd win the division. No, I'm kidding. But maybe. Chart that up real quick with the Giants.
So
what it would take
47.
What it would take to get them from 47 to 32.
Okay. Pull it up again. 47 to 32. So 32 is worth 184. 47 is 124. So you need 60 points in between, which is basically like a third round pick.
All in 47 and 70?
70. That's,
or is that too much?
60 or 70 plus 194. It'd be 10 points more, but also the quarterback tax too. I think that works. Because the quarterback tax, the Chiefs know it's for a quarterback.
Get gutsy with the Giants and get up to 32 and really
and take them.
Change the franchise here.
Are the Raiders picking? I don't think the Raiders are picking before them, though. Are they? Will the Giants do that?
The Raiders are picking 44.
Oh yeah, Giants traded their pick to Carolina second round. That's right.
Yeah, Brian Burns. But now you're going full tilt. Penix, Nabers. You got Brian Burns. The defense is getting worked on for sure. You got some old linemen in free agency. Is it maybe because Penix is, I don't think we can argue Penix's arm talent versus Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
And now you got Nabers. Still a work in progress up front. But if their O-line is healthy, especially Andrew Thomas, Schmidt should get better. You hope Evan Neal gets better. Are the Giants the team then? Do you think they would like Penix enough to give it a shot?
I think Dable's probably pretty desperate too, right? Dable's probably like, man, I gotta figure this out quick. Because if not,
they're not on the way out. They're not winning more than, what, seven games at the most this year with Daniel Jones?
No. Yeah, I feel like I could see it happening. I don't hate that at all.
Let's make the last pick a fun pick.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get Penix to New York. Let's put him on the Giants.
Eli, 47 and 70, I think is what we landed on, which is like almost exactly even. A little better for the Chiefs, but also the quarterback tax too. So it makes sense.
Well, and the Chiefs come out of that picking 47, 64, 70, and 95.
Yeah, you can get
there is a
multiple players.
Boatload of receivers
in
that range, and there's a bunch of tackles in that range, or if they wanted to maneuver again, they could do that. I just don't see that the Chiefs the quarterback desperation thing.
Did you see Eli pulled up Spencer Rattler for a second for us there?
Easy now. Don't.
Max loves him. Five star.
He was a five.
Former
QB,
five star.
Number one quarterback coming out of high school.
Exactly.
Over Bo Nix, actually. And Jane Daniels. We
that
should have had
a lot.
Rattler go two.
Means a lot.
Rattler should have gone two. If he was above Jane Daniels and Bo Nix in high school rankings, Dalton. We didn't think about that.
I don't think about that. high school is a long time ago, man. Plus the COVID and everybody getting an extra. You're talking about guys who were in. You're talking about some guys, Max, in this draft were in high school. In, I think, what, 2014? Some of these guys are 24 years old. Think about that.
Yeah,
there are guys in this draft. I'm pretty sure if I'm adding that up right,
they went to
high
school with me.
2014,
because I started high school in 2013, and I would be a seventh year senior right now.
I'm not worried about high school stars in this year, especially.
We'll see. I don't know. Maybe you're missing out, Dalton. I don't know.
Yeah, Spencer Rattler, QB1.
We got transfers. We got walk-ons.
So you're saying Jeremiah Smith's not going to work out in college football? Is that what you're saying, Dalton? Because he's a five-star recruit?
Wait, that's not what we said now. Hold on. That aliens are aliens, all right? Like
that's what five stars are. It's all about athleticism. Yeah.
I mean, didn't a whole team of three stars just win the national title?
Isn't JT Daniels in this draft too? I think he actually retired. JT Daniels is a five star too. Don't you forget? Back in 2018,
Dalton, that team won the Natty because they're a great program.
Yes. Correct.
Exactly. See, you can overcome the lack of stars.
JT Daniels was the number three quarterback behind Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields in 2018 class. They nailed the first two. After that,
listen, high school recruiting is as much a crapshoot as anything.
It's a crapshoot like NFL draft, honestly. Yeah,
sure is.
Yeah,
sure is.
Guys credit. They do a good job. The recruiting now rankings nowadays are actually a lot more accurate than you would expect, honestly. So, all right, that's what we got though for our
what a tangent.
We should just do an all five star mock draft and look and see what that looks like. That'd be pretty funny.
You'd be taking all the worst players from college football.
Caleb Williams, five star. Who else is a five in our first round?
See?
Yeah, see, all of a sudden we got a bunch of underdogs now, don't we?
Hold on. Right now, I'm looking at the first round, just Caleb right now.
Well, the funny thing is a lot of teams think that way too. Guys who get drafted in the first round continue to get paid because they got drafted in the first round. So Max just thinks like NFL teams.
Oh, Terron Arnold just missed on being a five-star. He was three spots away.
See?
All right, so just Caleb. Marius Mims, five-star. He's a top 10 recruit. Dallas Turner, five-star.
Bengals got a five-star. Oops.
Dallas Turner, five-star. Bo Nix, five-star. I don't think Nate Wiggins was. Kool-Aid, five-star. J.C. Latham was like one of the highest-rated tackles ever coming out of high school. He was a five star. Yeah, a good amount of five stars.
Five in this? That's wild.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it doesn't look great sometimes. Some of these guys were not highly rated.
I saw a take on Twitter about Alabama tackles not really working in the NFL.
Mm.
Scheme dependent.
See, I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know if that. Yeah, I saw that too. There's been a lot of Alabama O linemen that's worked out.
Just keep swinging. Evaluate them individually. Don't worry about it.
Quinyon Mitchell, number 1,459 player coming out of high school in 2020.
Wow.
Man.
Almost 1,500 recruits better than Quinyon.
Spencer Rattler better than him.
That's true. That'd be fun. Actually, that could be a hilarious mock draft. I might do that and tweet it out. Be like all five-star mock draft and just see how bad the mix would be. All right, that's what we got, though, for our final mock draft of the 2024 draft season. Dalton, we have finally made it, man, to the end of the run. Quick announcement, because this is actually our last episode before the NFL draft. PFF is doing a live draft show for day one, day two, and day three of the NFL draft. Dalton and I are not good enough for day one or day two. That'll, of course, be Trevor Sikkema, Sam Monson, and Steve Palazzolo. But PFF did screw up and put Dalton and I on day three of the NFL draft. So we will be on with Trevor Sikkema for the entirety of day three, which is going to be an 8-hour broadcast, Dalton. My bladder is going to be pushed to the absolute fucking limit for day three, man. But I'm excited, man. It's going to be a fun day three with you. It's to all the guys that we love in college football that maybe aren't going to go in the first 100 picks. But after that, man, there's a lot of our guys, I feel like, are going to go day three of the draft.
Hey, listen, Max. Day three is when championships are won, and
that's
true. Kansas City's proven that last 5 years. So you know, we're just on the championship show, and it's the longest one because we just durability matters too, right? That's
right.
So yeah, listen, we got it. We just do not eat Skyline Chili right before the show. That's the only thing.
They're talking about going out before on Friday night. And I'm like, Eli's trying to get us to go out. Eli, I mean, we're gonna be if you want Dalton and I hungover on the set, I can't have that.
We're gonna be having it. So.
No, we're not. I'm not going. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing. For Saturday night, we'll have fun. So if you
drop a comment if you think Max needs to go out Friday night.
If you're, I'm not going out Friday night. I can't do that. Also, we have. We're going to 2025 NFL mock draft dropping next week as well, immediately after the 2024 NFL draft, probably dropping on either Sunday or Monday probably as well. So it'll be a long, long week, but I cannot wait to do it. So for Dalton Wassman, for producer Eli back there, I'm Max Shadwick, and we'll see you guys after the 2024 NFL draft.